morning. You can go ahead and take up our Sunday morning offering. We have our ushers to come, please. And if you'll be turning to page 378. 378, at the top there, we'll do the first, second, and last verse, first Sunday. So we have our youth offering today. And probably most of you know, but those of you that don't, that's offering to take up to help the youth go on their trips and do their activities and stuff. So when they come through the first time, the gold-colored plates, that's regular tithes and free will offerings. The silver plate that they have, that's our flower fund. Then when they come back through, that is for our youth offerings. So keep that in mind. Page 378 at the top, first, second, and last verse. Brother Charles Cole, would you ask the blessing for us?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the prayer of prayer in your house this morning, Lord. Just thank God for all the blessings you've given. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon this church this morning. Bless our pastor who brings the message, God, and we deliver that. God, we stand in need of it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this offering, Lord, so we have to give them those that have not. May it be used for the honor of just building the Holy Kingdom. Thus again, I pray, O God, each and every one, and I thank you for your kindness to pray for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tomorrow, okay. Well, happy early anniversary. I hope y'all have a good one. And And Lord willing, we'll have a chance to sing to you next Sunday. Amen, amen. Anyway, again, we appreciate the Lord letting us be here at his house. And let's see, as far as announcements, I don't think we've got a whole lot. I haven't even looked yet. Is there a fifth Sunday this month? I feel like there should be. Okay, so just pray for that, that the Lord will help you use on you Sunday. Just pray, Lord, give us the one that, name of the one that needs to come to present the word to us that morning. And remember our youth revival coming up. Man, it's what, like 6 weeks now? It's real close. So remember preacher Curtis Ponder as he comes. That's right, isn't it, Curtis Ponder? Yeah, so remember him as he comes, that the Lord would bless him that. I can't really see. When is the resurrection? It's towards the end of April this year, isn't it? So it's the next
Sunday.
Week. Oh, that's right, because that's how you schedule it, wasn't it? It was the yeah, amen. So do remember that. I always look forward to Resurrection Sunday and our sunrise service and everything. So keep that in mind. Any other announcements? Can't really think of anything. Okay. So who's got a request of prayer about Philip again this morning? Amen. Oh, we want to make our visitors welcome this morning. Appreciate y'all being with us. As far as the folks that we know of, I guess Sawyer, he's still pretty sick, ain't he? And Miss Stephanie's not feeling good, and especially remember her, because, being in the family way there, it's just kind of just compounding her discomfort there. So remember that. Remember Pastor, he's feeling a good bit better this morning, but he come in a little bit later, so maybe not to be around everybody quite as much. So everybody in the family, being sick, there's a lot that are sick right now. Appreciate the Lord bringing some back that have been sick recently, helping them to feel better. I'm trying to think here who else sick. I know Colby's back with us, so we appreciate that. And, I know Katie is feeling a bit better, but now Lucy is sick again. She had a pretty decent fever, so did somebody say they're taking her back to the doctor today?
Yeah.
Okay, and Derek's sick too, so pray for them, that Lord help them. I think they're in one of those cycles. I mean, obviously they have kids, you know how it is. You get those certain seasons where the first one gets sick and then it's dominoes, and by the time the last one's had it, now the first one's got something else, and you kind of get the repeating cycle, and you feel like, that you go months without going to church or whatever. Yeah, and remember Glenn this morning, he's not feeling well, what they will be with us. But, I'm not going to say I'm glad Glenn's sick, but I am glad that the Lord used it to work out somebody being in church last night that might not necessarily have been otherwise. So I tell you what, when the Bible says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose," sometimes we don't get to see it. But sometimes we do. Speaking of which, we got to go last night, didn't get to go Friday night to the meeting down at Davies Chapel. Had a real good service. Preacher Billy Abey did a really good job. And I was telling Miss Terry this morning, a lot of we trust that when the man of God gets up, he's given us the message that the Lord had for him. But those times when you go into a service and you hear the message and you just, I don't know, the reality of how needful the message is for that moment hits you, even if you don't really know why. I don't know about anybody else, but I was getting that last night.
Yeah.
That is very, very needful. He was preaching on the types of seed that were sown by the sower. Yeah, and the gospel was given, a good invitation was given, and I know that there were folks there that needed to hear that. So, Lord, really bless. Lord, can you send us here? Oh, yeah. Yes, so do pray for him. As I understand, he's a youth pastor. Did they say, what was it called, Grace? It was Grace something. It was a church that I was not familiar with, and the head pastor was there.
Marty Best.
His pastor, Marty Best, okay. And I don't actually know him either. I don't know. Do you know him, Richard? But just pray for him. I think, didn't you say they just ordained him not long ago, right? Yeah. So do remember him as he goes into that ministry into which the Lord has called him. Several young preachers there last night. Preacher Payton was there. Like Morganton Park? Okay.
It's south of Morganton, not going to Park City.
Okay.
On 18th
up there about the Blowbark, but the Burke Bob Mountain.
That's a part of the country I don't know a whole lot about. A whole lot is out there. Well, we went and preached for Vicky Spiegel at one time, and I remember Christina had to remind me that was on 64. I don't know. I don't remember where that was. But anyway, we did have a real good service there last night. We really appreciate what the Lord did for us, and appreciate all those that was there. And I was going to say, there's a lot of young preachers there. Just remember these young preachers, that the Lord would give them opportunities to preach, that He'd use them, that He'd protect them. Because there's a lot out there, especially for a young man that's unmarried, there's a lot out there to try to drag them down and get them out of the way, ruin their testimony, disqualify them from the service of the Lord. So really just remember to pray, and not just the ones as preachers, you know, all of our young folks, because the devil is out to get our young people. He's been around for a few thousand years. He knows how this works, right? If he can interrupt the transmission of the gospel from one generation to the next. The Bible teaches us this always don't get passed on. He ain't gonna stop it. He can't do that. That is God's promise. But there is sometimes a lessening between one generation and the next, and I know that's what the devil wants to accomplish. So definitely remember them. Who else has got? Oh, Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda's not feeling good this morning either. Brother Tony said she's all creeped up and stuff. So. Remember her, but who else has got a request this morning? Yes, amen. Remember Brother Lee. But I'm sorry, I need to mention this, and I'll talk to lunch, but my cousin that I requested prayer for on Wednesday night did pass away yesterday morning about 5 o'clock. And remember the family there. It's one of those situations where didn't see a whole lot in his life as far as fruit towards the Lord, but he said he knew the Lord. He said he was talking to the Lord, so I've got to go by. That's all I have. You know, that's all we can really go by is what, somebody says, hey, I've asked him, I've trusted him, I've asked him to save me. So, that's what I'm going to go on, but it doesn't actually matter what I think. It is, the situation is what it is, but just remember them that they've asked me and my brother-in-law, Alex, and Dad to help in the service there. Don't tell me when that's going to be yet, but just remember that family, that the Lord would draw them all in. It's been a while since really any of them have been in church, that household there. So remember them, if you would, please. All right, that sounds like them.
Jesus was the faithful apostle. in and worship again.
Yes, yes.
It is a blessing to be able to come in and be with the church family.
Amen.
And meet with God.
Yes.
I'm glad God gives us a place to decide to meet with Him. Amen.
Amen.
I know God's with me everywhere I go. That fact ain't lost on me. I hope it ain't lost on you.
Yeah.
Even whenever I don't feel like He's there, He's there. You know, the psalmist said that if you went to the depths of hell, He said, "Lo, Thou art there."
Yeah.
God's presence there, maybe not in His love, but His wrath is present there.
Yes, yes.
He won't be in everywhere, anywhere. No, you cannot escape from God. He is everywhere.
Amen.
Even for a lost individual, somebody that don't know God personally, He's there.
Yeah.
But more for me, those of us that are saved by His grace,
right.
He's not only there, but He hears us when we talk to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to have a Father that cares.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that. But it's nice to have a place where you got a family.
Yes.
People that love one another. People that support one another, that pray for one another. What a valuable thing to have is people that pray for one another, people that pray for you. You know what? People can give you every dime they have. They can do all kinds of things for you. And it might help you some, but they ain't nothing that can help you, benefit you like people that's willing to pray for you.
Yeah, amen.
And carry a burden for you, to love you, and to pray continually for you. I appreciate that. I appreciate each and every one of you that prays for me and my family.
Thank
what a blessing it is. I thank God for this. I know here in a little bit that Johnson's and the Steelwells is going to have to go. They got a previous engagement they got to get to. Sarah, don't let it embarrass you. What's more embarrassing, me announcing that or you getting up in the middle of service and leaving? I mean, you know, what if I start preaching on lesbians and y'all get up and leave and everybody says, "Oh, we're back." In any case, no, they just got so much they got to go. It's all right. We understand.
Yeah, amen.
But in any case, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Been a little under the weather the end of this week, but I'm doing all right. So I told Preacher Matthew, I said, I went to work yesterday. I said, I'm probably going to go to work tomorrow. I said, I didn't see any reason not to come to church, you know.
Yeah.
If I can go deliver the mail, I can go preach, you know. So anyways, but I appreciate the Lord giving me strength to be able to be here with you. Has anybody got a song they want to sing before we get started preaching this morning? Go ahead, Miss Sauls.
Save us.
turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. John, chapter number 4. Jesus, here, this is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament about Jesus. I'm not a woman by any sense, but this Samaritan woman, and where that she's at in life when she meets Jesus, I think a lot about my own testimony and where I was at in life when I met Jesus. And I was ashamed. That's where I was at. I knew that the way that I had lived was wrong. I was raised to know better than that. And I had a sense and an idea of who God was and how that a Christian was supposed to behave, but I didn't know him. And I was ashamed of how I'd lived. And whenever I met Jesus, I was no longer ashamed, but I was bragging always on the Lord and what he had done for me. And I didn't have to live with shame and guilt any longer because the Lord set me free from all of that. Yeah. Now, just to familiarize us, I believe we can familiarize ourselves with this story here this morning before it get to where I'm wanting to go. If you want to write this down, the message this morning is just simply this. Wanting more of God. Wanting more of God. But I want to start here in verse number 6 of chapter 4, and I'm going to do some reading. Just stay with me. We're going to familiarize ourselves with this story. I realize that some of you know this story well, but there's probably some of us here this morning that don't. And so for the benefit of everyone, we'll go over it one more time. Now the Bible says here, we're in John, the book of John, in chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, now Jacob's well was there. He's went to Samaria. Let me start in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. I'm thankful that sometimes it's needful that the Lord come by where I'm at. Amen? Yeah, amen. Ain't you glad that it's needful that the Lord come by where you're at? Now notice that he was born a Jew. He came unto the Jews is what the Bible tells us. Yeah. And the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. Yeah. They did not like one another. They hated one another. Nevertheless, just to give you a little bit of history on the Samaritans, they believed that the way that they were worshiping and following God was the right way, and they believed that the Jews were doing it the wrong way. Well, I got news for you. Both of them was doing it wrong. Amen? The Jews had got the word that for the most part, most of them were taking the law and trying to achieve righteousness by the law rather than letting the law serve its purpose and showing them that they could never fulfill the law, but that they must be justified by faith
yes.
in the mercy and righteousness of
God Almighty. And yet, we see that they were messing up, and also the Samaritans were messing up, but they both had what you might call an Abrahamic faith. They both understood that there was one God who created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that the man had failed by sin, and they were also looking for a Messiah to come. They were looking for the Christ, yes. And we'll read that here in just a minute. But nevertheless, understand that Samaria was a place where there was people there that worshiped God, and they had been raised to worship God, much like in the area you and I live in. If you go out and talk to people, you'll very rarely find somebody that doesn't have family members or somebody that's went to church, that had a testimony. We're fortunate, amen, to live in such an area, yeah. To where that most people have got family, and they've got somebody that they can look up to, that they can see that God has done something in their life. And so they have an influence of God. They've got an influence of the Bible. They've got an influence of Jesus Christ in their life. I had a great influence of Jesus Christ in my life. I was took to church, and I was raised in church, and I went to every vacation Bible school there was around. And I was under the sound preaching of the Word of God. And I had a grandpa that was a preacher. And my grandma, she taught our Sunday school class. And they would teach us. They would tell us these things. My mom and dad wouldn't let me be exposed to a lot of things I didn't need to be. Whenever I was growing up, as far as music and television and things like that, I didn't watch a lot of things that would creep in and cause me to, go into a life of depravity. But nevertheless, I didn't know Jesus Christ. I knew all about Him. I knew all about God. I had an affinity for it. Matter of fact, whenever I was in school and they would get to talking about evolution, I would stand up and I would take up for the Lord. And I would say, hey, listen, that's wrong. What you're teaching is wrong. Nevertheless, at the time I didn't know Jesus Christ. I would still say all those things, but I myself didn't know Him. Much like this woman that's there at this well. And that's what I'm talking about. She was a Samaritan woman. It says in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Now, that's important that it was about the sixth hour. This is about noon. This is about the middle of the day. This is in the heat of the day. Guess what? Nobody's going to the well in the heat of the day.
Yeah.
You know why? Because any water you draw out is going to be hot by the time you get back home. Any water that you draw out is not going to last. Let me ask you this. Any of y'all ever grew a garden?
Yes.
Ideally, you want to water a garden in the mornings before the sun comes up. Do you know that? That's not. But if you can't water it in the morning, you water it in the evening as the sun's going down, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that? Why don't you water it in the heat of the day?
It just goes away.
It just, it don't do no good.
Yeah.
It's the same idea. You know, you can get hydrated better. You know, this thing works the same for you, by the way, if you don't know this. You can get hydrated better in the morning before you take off and go to work. Or you can get hydrated better of an evening whenever you're at home resting than trying to, of course, while you're working and while you're exerting energy and you're sweating, you need to drink fluid. Now, I'm not just talking out of my honey. This is scientific. I've looked this up. Okay? I drink a lot. Trust me. I don't see me. I get thirsty. I drink a lot. But listen, you can hydrate yourself better while you're resting in the morning or in the evening, more so than while you're working and you're out. So, and it makes sense. In the middle of the day, when you're out there working, you're sweating, and you're outside doing something, you drink, it just seems like you can't get enough.
Yeah.
But if you'll load up before you get out there, try it and see if it don't work. But in any case, this woman, she went in the middle of the day, and that's why she was there. Now, it just so happened Jesus was there because He was passing through. But I believe that, Him being God and having all knowledge, He knew what time to be there. And it said that He was there about the sixth hour. Verse 7, it said, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. I know that feeling, don't you? We're just talking about that. But he says in verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men are to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know, listen to this, that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered in to their labors. And many, listen to this, verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now I read all that, like I said, to familiarize us with the story. I understand that this is a Samaritan woman. To understand this, that she said that he told me all I ever did. She said, I perceive that you must be some kind of prophet. Why was that? It's because that Jesus had told her. He said, go get your husband and bring him. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know you don't have a husband. He said, you've had 5 and the one you're living with now, you're not married to. And he said that to her. And now we see why that she's there at the 6th hour. Why she's there in the middle of the day. It's because this lady has lived a life of shame. It's because that she knows, remember, remember, like I said, she's not around a people that all know God, but they've got an affinity for God, right? And so, just like I said, the reason that there's things that are not accepted in our society is because whether they want to admit it or not, our society, they have an affinity for God and the things of God.
Yeah.
You understand that? The reason that you would not be accepted, I know, sir, sure, you can be accepted in society. You can be a drunkard. You can be an alcoholic. You can be a drug user. You can do all kinds of things, and society will accept you. Fornication is fully and absolutely acceptable, even adultery and all kinds of things. But guess what? You couldn't be accepted in our society if you're a thief,
right.
If you're an extortioner.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who's murdering and killing, why is that? It's because that God says those things you are.
Yeah.
And in this society, like I said, even though they might not be 100% right, and know everything there is to know, they might not be right with God, they know about love.
Yeah.
And they have an affinity to want to do things the way that God has said. And so her adulterous lifestyle and her life of fornication is not acceptable in our society. That shouldn't be acceptable in our society either.
Right.
But unfortunately, outside of the church, it is.
Yeah.
But this is the facts, is that she's ashamed. Much like whenever I was a sinner and I was lost and I was living out of the will of God, I was ashamed. Now you say, well, preacher, are you doing it all right now? No, I still don't do everything right. But you know what? I don't have to be ashamed anymore. You know why?
Yeah.
Because God has paid for my sins.
Yeah.
And He set me free. And I'm glad of that this morning. But this lady here, she's ashamed. And so, undoubtedly, she probably hides from people that give her funny looks. Wouldn't you imagine?
Yeah.
If she's going in the middle of the day to get her water, I believe this is probably a pretty typical day for her to be up there when nobody else is at the well. And she's drinking this old hot water, and she's suffering through that, and she's doing that every day because she's living a life of shame. Because she's ashamed of what's going on and what she's done in her life. And because of that, we see that when she goes to the well, that she goes in the middle of the day. But yet we see this, though, that after she meets Jesus there, and after Jesus confronts her about it, and he tells her that listen, he says, I can offer you something that'll never go away. I can offer you something that'll satisfy that you never thirst again. Like I said, imagine drinking that water in the heat of the day and how much how thirsty you are, and you keep a drinking and you keep a drinking. You ever think about it when you first get up in the morning, try to drink a bunch of water. It's hard, ain't it? It is. You ever tried that? You get up the first thing when it's hard. You know why? It's because you're not thirsty. It's because you hadn't exerted yourself. But in the heat of the day, when you went all morning, and back then, you know, people, they worked hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she's went all day, and she's thirsty, preacher. And she goes up there, and she walks to the well, and she gets there. And when she gets to this well, she's already thirsty. And every day, she's drinking this hot water, and it's not giving her any satisfaction. And yet Jesus says, I can give you water that you don't have to thirst again. I can give you water that satisfies and that doesn't leave you. And she says, give me this water. She says, that's the kind of water I want.
Yeah.
And he says, well, listen. He says, then he points out to her and he lets her know. She says, I perceive you're something. Probably points out to her and he lets her know that he already is able to see into her life. And that's letting her know that even though he can see into her life and that he can see her greatest failures, he can see the things that she's ashamed about, he's still offering this living water. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? But even though he sees into our lives, he sees the decay and the decrepitness in my life and in your life, that he's still willing to offer that living water that does not perish, that water that we don't have to thirst again. I'm thankful of that this morning.
Amen. Hey.
And then she says this. She says, you know, there is one that's coming called the Messiah that will be called Christ. She said, he'll tell us all things. And he says, I that speak to you of him. And she says, well, wait a minute. If the Messiah, the Savior, if he was willing to offer that to me. And so then she goes back to town.
Yeah.
Guess what? She ain't ashamed no more. She goes back and she says, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. She goes back to town. She says, listen, she says, I met somebody and he knew all about it and he is still willing to do great things for me. And you know what? That testimony meant something to the people in that town. Like I said before, this woman was an adulterer. This woman's a fornicator. That's what they've labeled her as. When they see her walk by, people start whispering one to another. That's why she hides from them. That's why she goes to the well by herself. That's why she don't want to be around nobody. But yet, whenever she comes to town, she ain't ashamed no more. She's owning up to it. Why? Because if God can forgive her, then what does she need from man? She ain't worried about it no more. She's there to brag on her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's what happened to me when God saved me. Hey, I went to bragging on him. Hey, guess what? There's people in your life right now, and they've walked with God a long time. There's people that's in your life when you was lost, and you see them living for God, and that testimony, it meant something to you. But I want to tell you this. Whenever you're living a life and you're lost, hey, I don't care how lost you are. It's all the same. It don't matter if you're a drunk or if you've been in church your whole life. If you're lost, you're lost. But I want to say this. When God saves you and you begin to brag on the delivering power of God through faith in Jesus Christ, hey, I want to tell you that that testimony gets attention from folks. Amen. When I got saved and I began to brag on God and I began to tell people about Jesus, hey, it began to get some folks' attention. Amen. And people said, hey, look, if God will save him, maybe God can save me too. And hey, I want to tell you this, they followed her back up there.
Yeah.
Amen.
They went not because she had been living a great and wonderful life. They didn't follow her because, like I said, she had a bad reputation.
Yeah.
They didn't follow her back up there because, listen to what it says, verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. It said that they believed on him because of what she said about him. They said, look, how come she ain't embarrassed on that?
Yeah.
What is she so excited about? Man alive, they must be something to this. I don't know, I'm just saying this. I know it's God works in that. Amen. When you get to bragging on God, when you just let go of that, you ain't ashamed no more, and you just get to tell them about what the Lord's done, how good he is, and I'll tell you, God works in that. But I want to say this, and this is where I'm going to go this morning, and like I said, we're going to get through this. But this is the thing. More and more of God. Now all that's good. And I didn't want to just go over that and leave none of them stones unturned. And I want to look at all that. But what I really want to look at this morning is this. I want to look at the crowd. I want to look at the crowd from Samaria. And what it was that they wanted out of this. It says that they believed on her. Verse 39. They believed on him because of what she said. In verse 40 it says this. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so we see that they believed, because when they come to me, guess what they come to? They didn't just come to take a glimpse and get away. But this is the big thing here. It says that they besought him that he would stay with them. They wanted the presence of God there with them. They said, we've heard about what you've done. We've witnessed it and seen it with our own eyes in this lady. And we want you to stay with us. And in wanting that presence, they was able to hear his word for their self. And after hearing it for us, you see, there's a difference. I believe that there's probably some of these folks that whenever they come and they seen, they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Guess what? That's what it takes to be saved. It ain't a list, it ain't a magical recipe of a cocktail of things you can mix together and do right and say the right words and so on and so forth. It is simply just this, having faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, I think about that thief that was on the cross, has one on the one hand that said, if you're the Son of God, then why don't you call the angels to come down here and get us off of these crosses? And other on the other side, he said, this man, he said, has done nothing wrong. He said, he's the Son of God. He looked at him. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This was a thief. This was a no good. He was more likely probably uneducated. He didn't know nothing about the Word of God. He didn't know nothing about any of it. All he knew is that the man next to him was the only one, the only hope that he had. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I want to say he didn't get to the gate, and it wasn't as if Michael and Gabriel standing there, they've got a list of things and questions to ask him to make sure that he's got all these boxes checked. Yeah. Can you explain to me the omniscience of God? Can you explain to me the atonement? Do you understand what propitiation means? What is redemption? Have you been born again? I don't know. The man on the cross said I could come.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
It was that simple. We try to turn it into some kind of complex thing that it don't have to be.
Right. Amen.
But it was that simple. I believe there's probably people there in Samaria, and whenever they seen what happened in this lady's life, that before they even got there, I believe they had probably had faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They probably trusted in him and what he had done with that lady's life. Yeah. And they had confidence in it. But then it says this, that there were more who believed at hearing his word. And I want to say this, that even those that believed, once they had heard his word, it said they told her, they said this, they said unto her, they said, many believe because of his own word, and they said to her, verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. There is a difference in just worshiping God because mom and dad does and grandma and grandpa did.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that can get you close, amen. Praise God. Like I said, I'm glad to live in the area of the country that I live in this part of North Carolina. I'm glad that I was raised in the church. I was raised around good, godly people where the Word of God was preached. I had great men of God that preached to me growing up. My grandpa, Preacher Billy, Ken Frady, Joe Cook, all them men. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But there's a big difference between just getting close and hearing him for myself.
Yeah.
But you know what the difference was? The difference was this. That whenever it come time for me to hear him for myself, you know what that was from? That was because that I was wanting more. I was seeking more. I want to ask you this, are you seeking more? Now, the Bible tells us that there's none that seeketh after God. But now, understand this, that's talking about those that have no affinity for God. That means that we have to, of course, take these children. They don't naturally seek after God. They're not just going to grow up, and they're not just going to say, you know, I'm going to go to church. I think I'll just walk down there myself. They might if they've been exposed somewhat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what it takes is it takes some sort of exposure from moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, friends. If you've got a friend, a neighbor, or somebody that you love, you'd like to get them in church, you expose them to that. Like I said, just as that woman did. She went and she told them. She didn't have no great big testimony about how long she'd lived for God and all that she'd done. And you know what I mean? She's a sinner. And she got to tell them about how good Jesus was. And look how many it got up there.
Yeah.
But they come looking for something. They wanted something. They said they wanted more God. They besought him, verse 40 it says, to stay with him. They said, we want your presence here with us. The Bible teaches us some things about seeking after God. First of all, in Matthew chapter 6, we read how the Bible tells us that we are to seek God more, even more so than the things that we deem necessities in our life. The Bible tells us if you're writing down notes, you want to look at this later. It's in Matthew chapter 6. You can go back and you can read it. And in verse number 33 is where it says this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He's talking about don't worry about what you're going to wear. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, don't worry about any of that. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, of course, you know, you got to have a job and you got to work, and God wants you to work. God made us to work.
Yes.
Right? Amen. But everything that we have is His. Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
Guess what? We like to say, well, I earned this and I earned it. No. God has gifted you and entrusted you with everything that you've ever had.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Amen.
And look at it this way. Being you're an American, praise God, it's probably a lot more than you deserve.
Hey.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And so we see that seeking God, seeking His kingdom, should come before anything, even the things that He says necessities. But my fear is this, that we don't even seek God above our wants and desires. Mm-hmm. There's so many other things that we put so much effort into seeking after, into following after. I want to say this. Also, there is reward, there's blessing that comes from seeking God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That word there is exateo. It means to search out, or to investigate, or to crave. To crave, to desire, to want something. You ever had a craving for something? Jerry Fowler used to say, he said, he talked about something flinging a craving on him. He'd smell of, you know, pie cooking or something. He said, fling a craving on him. I think about Mondays, a lot of times on Mondays. Mondays is rough. How many of y'all's worst day at work's Monday? That's me. A lot of y'all. That's what it is for a lot of people. Well, you know what I do? I start this thing sometime back, milkshake Monday, man. Listen. We get through the day, we get to the end of the day on Monday, we eat supper, we take off and we go to cookout, we get a milkshake. And that cost about $22 to buy five milkshakes at cookout. But you know what? Man, it is a good investment. But all day Monday, I'm like, man, I'm going to go get a milkshake tonight. Praise God. And I start seeing, it'd be like playing Scrabble. I'd be delivering mail. And I'd be looking at street names, and all of a sudden I'm seeing milkshake and words there, you know? But I've got a craving, I've got a desire. I've got something to look forward to. I've got something I'm seeking after, right? And I've set myself up a reward just to get through that Monday, you know? And that's just a little psychological game I play with myself to help myself out there. But there's great reward to be had with seeking after God, desiring Him, wanting Him, craving Him. Amen? To desire that, there's a greater reward. Guess what? You know, I feel strongly that milkshake's real good for me. But it probably ain't. But I know this, that the more time I spend in prayer talking to God, and the more time I spend studying His Word, Him talking to me, and the more time I spend in the house of God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with people about God, hey, I want to tell you that there's greater benefit.
Amen.
Even than that milkshake. You know what? That'll get you through a Monday a whole lot better than milkshake. You believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. It sure will. I thank God for it. But He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, those that crave Him, those that would investigate, to spend time searching Him out. Hey, how many of y'all's like me? I'm going to aggravate Jesse a little bit. Because me and him talks a lot, and you're a lot like me in this aspect. I get interested in something, and you've told me you're the same way. I get interested in something, and I will absolutely saturate my mind. My mom testified to this, with whatever it is that I'm interested in at that time. And this is what happens. I will investigate it so deeply. Rodney testified to this too. I will investigate it so deeply, and I will learn so much about it in such a short period of time that it don't take long and I get bored with it. Mm-hmm. I do that. And then you know what I'm doing? I've got to move on to something else. Why? Because I've searched everything out there. He's known about it. And that was the attraction for me. Is something that I didn't know everything about, something that was interesting to me. I will say this. Knowing more about God is always interesting.
Yeah.
And guess what? You don't ever search it all out. Matter of fact, he's got ways that are too high for us, things that we are never going to understand. And you know what? That's all right. But as long as we keep on searching, as long as we keep on seeking after him, then we keep growing. And the more we learn about him, the more we know about him, the closer we can conform our lives to his image, just as we were commanded. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible says that we have been destined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. That means that we are to be seeking after him to know more about him. I want to say this, we got a lost and dying world around us. There's a Samaritan, there's Samaritans all around us. There's a Samaria out there full of people that know all about God, and they've been raised around God, but they don't know God. I want to say this, if you know him, hey, I want to say, so you can have a testimony, you've been in church your whole life, praise God for that. Or you can have one to say, hey, look, starting today, I'm going to brag on Jesus. I might not have done it before. I might have been kind of embarrassed about it, and I didn't really go around telling people, but today I'm going to start bragging on Jesus because I want to be more like him, and I want more of him in my life.
Amen.
Do you want more of that in your life? I'd say that there's a part of you that does, or you wouldn't be here this morning.
Yeah.
The very fact that you're here at the house of God this morning is an indication that you want more of God in your life. That you desire to have more in your life. The Bible tells us this. There was people in the Bible that wanted more of Jesus. Matthew 9, we read about a lady who had an issue of blood.
Yeah.
And she thought that if she could just touch his garment, she'd be healed. She wanted to feel of him. She wanted to touch him. She wanted to be able to have to feel after him. How often do we spend so much time putting our hands to labor, hard labor, over so many other things, that if we just desire just to reach out and just touch the hem of the garment, what a blessing we could receive.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 19, we read about Zacchaeus. He climbed a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. He said the crowd was around. They were pressing hard and said that he was a man of small stature. He was wanted to get a glimpse of him, so he climbed up that sycamore tree just to be able to get a glimpse of Jesus. What if we tried that hard just to see him more, just to look for him, just to see his presence? You know, whenever something is fun and exciting, we want more of it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, Tim McGraw wrote a song about that. He was in love with a woman, and she was exciting and fun. And he said, I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Maybe y'all too sanctified, I don't know. But we listened to Tim McGraw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I remember that song. And that the way, that ain't that the way it is with life? We got something we like, we got something interesting, you want some more of it. Whenever something's new, and like I said before, when something's new and it's exciting and it's fun, you want to do it more, right? How many of us ever started a new hobby and it's fun, it's exciting, you just want to do it all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, but then after a while, this thing's fun anymore, and you just get bored with it, and it sort of dies off, and you're just like, and you just sort of lose interest. All right, I'll put it to you this way, when you people that's married, you know what I'm talking about? When you start dating, and you first start dating, your bride or your groom or whatever, it was exciting, and you just wanted to see them and be around them all the time. And then you've been getting married, and you're married for 15, 20, 30 years, and you're like, go to bed. I'll each other talk that up. Hopefully that's not the case. Sometimes it is. I mean, what I'm saying is this. You've got to kind of make things exciting, don't you? You got to start trying then. At first, you don't have to try so much. First, it just sort of comes natural. You're sort of discovering everything there is to know about one another and it's all new and it's all exciting. But after a while, you know, it sort of dies down. It's like getting a new pastor. You know, for a while it's exciting, it's new. Then they're in another week long, they're like, oh, he's just like the old one. That's a compliment, by the way. I would take that as a high compliment. But in any case, if we would seek more of God, the way that we do things that we get, that we have fun in, the things that we get excited about, guess what? He never gets old.
Right. Amen.
And the excitement is always there. Yeah. You ever been a part of a church service? And it was exciting and it was fun and you're just like, you know, you're excited about being there. You're excited when you leave and it was just doing something for you. Do you think that was just simply because that in that particular time that, you know, God decided to do, sure, maybe God decided to do something special for you right then. But more than anything, it's because you came with anticipation. You know, our revival meetings are a lot of times better services than just regular church service because you go with anticipation. You're looking for it to be. Seeking Him. Not only that, whenever something gives us security, we want more of it.
Yeah.
I like guns and knives. I just like guns and knives, but I do like the fact that they give me security. If something gives you security, you want more of it. When I was a kid, I had a little pillow I carried with me everywhere. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I probably carried that thing until I was like 6 or 7, you know. But for whatever reason, I felt secure when I had my little pillow. And I'd take that thing with me everywhere. I mean, some kids got a bear, some kids got a blanket, you know. But everywhere I went, I took that little pillow with me. And I don't even know what happened to the little pillow. But anyway, so I guess I grew out of it. But I'd take that little pillow with me everywhere I went. And I can still remember that to this day. And I remember, you know, if I didn't have my pillow, I felt like I needed that. You know, I felt like I needed that. Like, well, you know, I don't know how it was going to help me. Couldn't tell you. But my little 4 or 5 year old mind, you know, that was needful.
Yeah.
That little pillow was. And to this day, there's things that's like that, you know. There's things that I just like to have with me. You know what? I got a little old lighter I carry in my pocket in case I ever need to light something on fire. You know how often I use that thing? Not often. But I don't like to go anywhere without it. Don't know why. But you know what the greatest security I have is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The salvation that He's brought into my life.
Yes.
Amen. Even though I know that I don't deserve it, even though I know I'm a sinner, I know that no matter what, I cannot escape out of His hand.
Yeah.
That whenever I leave this world, that wherever He is, that's where I'm going to be. That's what you call real security. And so He gives me security. Why won't I seek Him more? Another thing, when something makes life easier, we want it more. We want more of it, right? Anything that makes life easier. You ever, how many of y'all's ever done some heavy moving? Right?
Yeah.
You ever use hand trucks?
Yeah.
Makes life a little bit easier, don't it?
Yeah.
Or you know, anything that it is in life that helps you, all of a sudden you ever went through life, you've done something one way, and you figure out a new way to do it, it makes it a lot easier. You're like, man, why wasn't I doing this before?
Yeah.
And so you start doing things that way. Well, hey, guess what? Life's a lot easier whenever we just go through it knowing and trusting that everything that happens is part of God's plan and His purpose. And whenever we want to look to Him more, instead of trying to ask Him to make our lives conform to the way we want it, whenever we accept His will, and say, Lord, let me just be a conform my life to what You want it to be. That might not always look like what we think it should look like.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're mortal. Because we're human. The Bible says that our hearts are wicked and deceiving. And they deceive us. Whenever something makes us feel special, we want it and we want more of it. You ever have something that nobody else has got, and it just makes you feel like, man, you know, this is cool. You know what I mean? My kid, I love knives, you know, stuff like that. My kid, Parker, a while back, he bought a knife that they made, like, back in the 90s. They only made it for, like, 2 years, and they made it since then. And, you know, and I'm like, man, that's cool, you know? I'm like, I wished I had that, you know. And I know that, you know, to him, that's got to be awesome. You know, that dad who collects knives and stuff, you know, is really interested in something that he's got. It makes him feel special, you know. The same way that some, you know, sometimes you can have a friend or a spouse makes you feel special. It makes me feel special to have my kids. And, you know, whenever I get home every day, and they, the first thing they want to do is come and run and hug me.
Yep.
And say, Daddy, we missed you. Man, that makes me feel special. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I tell my wife all the time, she says she feels bad or guilty if they go and do something fun while I'm at work or something like that. And I said, no, honey, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
I said, that's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I said, I'm working hard and I'm going and doing all this so that you and my kids can have a good life and y'all can have fun. I don't want you sitting at home and just doing school and cleaning and being miserable all day and working all the time. I want to work as hard as I can so that you can have fun.
Yeah.
Whenever I know, whenever y'all are going and having fun, I said, that makes my day easier. You know what I mean? I know, now like I said, I know how you women are. Now, if I know y'all's mentality, okay? And if y'all's working hard, you want everybody else to be as miserable as you are, okay? Maybe that's too far. But in any case, but you know, some of us men, you know, we're sweet. We don't have to, just because we're men, don't mean we have to be, you know, martyr and stuff too. But we love for our wives and our kids to be able to go and have a good time and enjoy themselves. And it makes me feel special to know that I'm providing for them and that I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. And actually, whenever something makes us feel wanted and loved, we want more of it. I love being around my wife.
Yeah.
For this very reason. Because regardless of all of my insecurities and feeling like I'm not a good enough husband or, you know, that I don't do enough for her, whatever the case may be, she always makes me feel loved.
Hey.
And I try to do the same for her.
Yeah.
If you've got a wife you love, husbands, you ought to do the same, and ladies, you ought to do the same for your husband. You'd be surprised what it'd do for your marriage and how God bless it just by you taking the first step.
Yeah.
And saying, I want to make them feel wanted. I want to make them feel loved. You know? But you know what? The Lord's never made me feel unwanted.
Right. Amen.
He's never made me feel unloved. Amen. Sure, I've had plenty of things in my life that I feel like that he probably shouldn't love me or that he shouldn't want me, but you know what? He's always let me know that I am wanted by him, that I am loved by him.
Amen.
And for that, I am so thankful. Now, why wouldn't I want more of that? Why wouldn't I seek to have more of that? These Samaritans, they sought that he would stay with them. They wanted his presence there with them after that they had heard and seen what he had done in the life of a woman. It was evidence to them. It was logical that he must be who he said that he was, because there's no other way that this woman who had lived a life of shame, who had avoided everybody at all costs, would be there and would be unashamed and bragging on him the way that she was, if it not were the fact that he were the Messiah, the Christ, the one and only Son of God, who was able to set them free from their sins. But whenever they came, and they came seeking him, and they desired him, and they craved him, and they wanted him to be there with them, they didn't want anything else. They said, you stay with us. They said, for just a little bit. They forgot about everything else that was going on. They forgot about the ball games. They forgot about all the other hobbies. They forgot about the vacation coming up. They forgot about all the troubles, all the trials. They forgot about the sickness, the bills. They forgot about all that. They said, we just want more of you. Then it says that in that they heard his own word. And the relationship went to a different level than what it was. For some of them, it meant that they were saved, I believe, because they were lost. And for some of them, I believe, who were already saved, I believe that they were being entered into, they were already saved by what they had heard about who he was. But then at that point, it became, I don't even know what to call it, but I've been through this myself. Maybe you have too. I got saved based on what I had seen God do for other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then whenever I got saved, and whenever I encountered him, whenever I got to a place where I began to want more of him in my life, and any time, not just once, but any time and every time, I've hit one of them times where I realized, you know what, I want more of God, guess what, I've got it. Praise God. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
How many things in life have you wanted and it seems like it's withheld from you? You don't get it. I want a big deer every year. And it don't work out. But you know what? I want more of God, and guess what? I get it. Amen. Amen. And it benefits me far greater than anything else that I could even imagine or hope for. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want to ask you this morning, do you want more of Him? I know that there's a part of you that does. You're here this morning. You're here at the house of God. But how serious are you about diligently seeking Him? Samaritans that had an affinity for God, you've been around it, know it all about it, but you never know Him personally yourself, and you'd like to this morning. Why don't you come and ask God to enter into that personal relationship? He has living water for you that you'll not thirst again. You have enough of it? Are you satisfied with the presence of God in your own life? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. Pray, Lord, that you'd heal them that's been sick, Lord, this week, God, that you'd touch them. Pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, spiritually, and heal us, Lord, of our own, Lord, fruitless desires. God, that me, myself especially, and how many of us here would desire more of you. God, that we would seek you, Lord, with everything in us, that we would, Lord, want after you and seek after you. God, that we may just have more of your presence, that we'd see you more, that we'd hear you more. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and helping us and being good to us. Pray, God, you'd be with each and every one that's here this morning, Lord, that you touch every need on every heart. Lord, that you watch over today and bring us back next point of time that we may come in and just worship and serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Me and I've been sick. Like I said, Sawyer, he's been sick. He's had COVID. I ain't saying I got COVID, but I was sick. And that's a good possibility. So I'm just going to slip out the door here. I'm going to get my young ones to go with me, the two that come with me. And I ain't shaking no hands or nothing like that. And I appreciate all y'all. Just want to let you know that. I ain't shaking hands, but don't mean I don't want to. You know I'd love to. Just tell you all, each and every one, I love you, appreciate you. But we're going to slip on out, and I'm going to go home and get changed. And Stephanie's really not feeling good today, so I'm probably going to try to cook something for her, and more than likely, run and go get something. But, you know, you never can tell. I may just decide to go ahead and cook. Depends on whether I'm going to be in hot water or not.
You can have a Sunday milkshake.
Sunday milkshake, I don't know if I can handle that. I got to have one. I got to have one tomorrow. If I get two in a row. All right. Some of y'all's going to start doing milkshake Monday, I know. I can see it in your face. That's all you're going to take home from this service today. Listen, you know, get up here and preach the word out of y'all. Y'all will be like, all members, milkshake Monday. That's where the flesh works, I guess. All right. All right, as all hearts and minds clear. I love y'all. You're at liberty to go.